Hello, everyone. Welcome to Clickbait and Cauldrons, an actual play D&D podcast. This is our first episode and is part of a short series we like to call Module Madness, where we play through different campaigns made available by the game designers of Dungeons & Dragons. We thought this would be a great place to start out before we get into our homebrewed campaign. This series features myself, Michael Alicote, as the Game Master, and Bryn Jones as the player. We'll introduce ourselves soon enough. We also wanted to let everybody know that there are some moments in here where the audio might get a little loud and sound a little echoey. We try to mitigate most of this through our editing process, but there are some moments where it's noticeable. We apologize for this in advance, and we hope that you power through them so that you don't miss any of the fun that we had while we recorded this. Thank you so much for listening, and enjoy this episode. Hello, everybody. Welcome to Clickbait and Cauldrons, a D&D actual play podcast. This is our first episode, and we are going to be playing through Dragon of Ice Spire Peak, which is one of the introductory modules that you can get as part of the kind of base game of things. Mm-hmm. And my name is Michael Alicote. I am your Dungeon Master, and I am also going to be playing and party NPC as well as everybody else.
Hi, my name is Bryn Jones. I'm the only player who's playing today. I'm 5'4". I'm a brunette. I'm unsigned. And feel free to contact my manager that I don't have. We have a campaign with more players. But yeah. We're just playing a fun one with just us for today.
Yeah, well, I've never played through a module before. Everything that I've played through has been kind of homebrewed settings. Mm-hmm. So now working through a like pre-made thing is interesting. It's fun for me. And we're only playing with two people, which is not usually how D&D goes.
100.
So,
and I could also like give a really good chance for the listener to, you know, see if, you know, they're not ready for homebrew yet, you know,
yeah,
an idea of what a...
Yeah, exactly. These, and this is like the introductory module. So like...
Oh, completely.
So if you like this,
yeah,
play, and you want a DM or whatever,
or play.
I'm
playing two classes I've never played before,
which is a very exciting.
So it's a fun little learning curve.
And this is kind of my first time, not DMing, but like, I don't know, yeah, kind of my first time DMing something like this. That's for sure.
100.
Otherwise, well, let's get started. In the land of the Sword Coast, with big cities such as, I got a map in front of me, Neverwinter, and Leilion, and Coneyberry. But we also have a small town named Phandalin, which is a little mining town, little kind of frontier land town. And on the path into Phandalin, we see one orc, half-orc, technically, named Holgo Firefist. He is a mustard-skinned, black-haired druid who is walking along this path, going to Phandalin to try and find some more work and to figure out who he is. He's just gotten out of his druidic arts, and now he is on his way. And further backwards down the path, we also see two travelers who are traveling by themselves as a party. And Bryn, can you introduce our two travelers to us?
Absolutely, I can. Walking down the path to Phandalin, skulking a little ways so as not to necessarily be noticed, are level one sorcerer and level one rogue, Mervyn and Ellerin Bloodbane, who are siblings, Mervyn Bloodbane is 19 years old. Ellerin is 8 years old.
Mm-hmm. And why are they traveling to Phandalin?
Yeah, I mean, well, you want the whole backstory? You want the whole spiel?
Maybe not the whole spiel. Give me the...
Well, they were born on the 8th of Breaking Dawn. That's a Twilight book.
It's just sort of the two of them in the world. And Mervyn goes where the work takes him, you know? Got to keep himself and his sister afloat. Times are hard. Times are always hard when you're 19 and you're caring for an 8-year-old by yourself. So we're off looking for any place where fortune might find us.
Interesting.
We'll work.
And so Mervyn and Ellerin are walking down this path. And they come up next to our good friend Holgo Firefist. And there's a commoner also walking at the same time.
Where is this person?
The commoner is a little bit in front of Holgo.
Okay.
Holgo is then kind of where he is. Mm-hmm. And then the Bloodbanes are a little further back behind Holgo. Maybe kind of at a stalking distance. Maybe a little closer than that.
We're just hanging back. I'm with you.
And you see that the commoner has a small, it's not a wallet per se, it's like a money pouch, I guess. That is probably not in a great place with how many rogues and stuff that there are in the land of the Sword Coast.
Mm-hmm.
What do you do about, do you do anything about that?
Let me just say right off the bat, Mervyn doesn't notice it.
Great. Actually, yeah. Let's roll a perception check to see if...
Okay.
If any
This is Mervyn. That's a 10.
Okay. Mervyn does not notice it.
Yep. But keen-eyed Ellerin, that's a 15 plus a plus 4 proficiency bonus is 19.
19. Definitely passes the DC to notice this money pouch.
Mm-hmm. And what? Can I also have Ellerin do a perception check on the half-orc?
Sure, absolutely.
Nope. That is a 7.
Okay. Ellerin doesn't know anything. Notice anything that's unusual about Holgo.
Sure.
Holgo is really just a soldier who's kind of in this hide armor that is nothing out of the ordinary from other travelers that have been on this path to Phandalin. But what does Ellerin, with that such high of a perception check to notice this kind of money pouch?
Mm-hmm.
What does Ellerin do? Does she do anything to maybe steal some money or something like that?
I think she reaches over and she gives her brother a tap on his leg, and he takes the hint without even needing to ask, and they walk forward up about to the level of the half-orc.
Okay.
And Mervyn tries to distract him. Just tries to talk to the half-orc for a second.
Okay. Cool. So Holgo notices this. Holgo
notices that he's just talking, that he's talking to him?
Notices kind of that he's being flanked a little bit from behind. Notices that they are changing their position behind him a little bit.
Okay.
Let's talk to Holgo.
Absolutely. Okay. I'm going to have Mervyn roll real quick to see how well this conversation goes. The answer's not good.
Oh, no.
Wait, let me look at my bonuses. What's that, persuasion?
Yeah, it would be a persuasion check. Or a deception.
Not deception. That's plus 4, so it's another 7.
It's a 7, okay.
What's up, bro? How's it going, Brosif? How's it hanging? Is it hanging?
It's fine, I guess. I'm just going to Phandalin and like...
Whoa, that's crazy. You know what? I'm also going to Phandalin. What brings you to Phandalin? During this conversation, Ellerin is going to try to stealth up behind the commoner, while the half-orc is not. Holgo?
Holgo.
Holgo. While Holgo is hopefully not looking, Ellerin is going to try to stealth up behind the commoner.
Okay, give me a stealth check for Ellerin.
That is a 16 plus 4.
Ooh,
dirty 20.
Holgo doesn't notice anything, and neither does the commoner. The commoner really kind of is... It's almost as if you would be listening to music.
Sure. Should I slide a hand?
Yeah, give me a slide of hand. Do you have thieves' tools?
I do have thieves' tools.
So give me a sleight of hand. Actually, no, I don't think thieves' tools would be useful for this. Just give me a sleight of hand check.
That is a 9 plus 4, 13.
Are you proficient in sleight of hand?
No, wait, sorry. Am I proficient in sleight of hand?
I think that's Mervin.
Yes, it's Mervin.
I would assume that you might be.
Where's...
Yeah, sleight of hand.
Yes, I am. I am, so I also add my... No, this already is... Yeah, because I have it here for my proficiency bonus.
Mm.
So it's a plus 2 proficiency bonus. So it'd be 11.
Okay. The commoner notices... The commoner feels a little hand kind of go into his pouch, and he turns around, and he is... irate. He is so angry, and he goes, "What the hell are you doing? Why are you in my money pouch?"
I thought you were my dad. Are you not my dad? Who are you?
Give me a deception check real fast.
That's a natural two.
No, I'm not your dad. Why would you think that I'm your dad? You're a tiefling, and I'm a human. What? Why did you
think... That's how tieflings work. Most tieflings are half something else.
Well, I'm not smart enough to know that.
I wouldn't know it, handsome sir. You're so handsome, I thought you were my dad.
Okay, so he goes and takes out his sword. And so I'm going to have Ellerin roll initiative, and then we can go through one round of...
Just Ellerin?
Just Ellerin for now, and then...
Should I have him roll, like, a perception or something like that?
Not yet. So we'll go through one round of combat between the two of you, and then...
Sick. What?
That's cocked. Reroll that. 11, okay. 11.
Wait, do I have any... I have plus 3 to initiative, so 14.
Okay, 14, and then it's a 16. That is just a 16 flat. So we are now in combat with Ellerin and Ellerin and this commoner who we don't know the name of, but that doesn't really matter. So what, I guess, he is going to pull out his club and is going to attack. And he gets a 6 plus 2, which is an 8.
It's a miss.
It is a miss. Okay. And he only gets one attack. So now it is Ellerin's turn.
I would like to free action.
Okay. So now both Holgo and Mervin are alerted to...
Mm-hmm.
Alerted to kind of what's happening over here.
Mm-hmm.
What else do you do in your action? Or during your turn?
Yeah, I would like to... I'm going to combine my action and bonus action. Imagine I'm doing them one after another, but...
As you would, yeah.
But one action, one bonus action, I'm going to go at him with... I'm going to pull... Ellerin pulls 2 daggers from a hilt in either side of her torso. She's going to go at him with both daggers.
Okay.
The first one is an 18 to hit.
Okay. Where's the AC on here? Hits. Roll damage.
Uh-oh. And the second one's another natural 2 for 7.
Okay, so one hit.
One hit. And that is... Oh, and then... Whoa. Man, I'm not rolling so good, huh? That's 4 damage.
Okay.
And... Did I kill him? Did I kill him?
Finish him. Finish him.
Does he have... He has 4 hit points. He's just...
yeah. So, well, can you kind of give me some little flavor text on how Elorin murders this man?
Yeah.
Because she was stealing the money.
Yes. Okay. Okay, well, in her defense, I'd like to say that attacking children with axes is not okay. She is 8 years old.
Well, it's a club, but yes.
Sorry, with a club. So this huge man, very intimidating, I would say, attacked her first, I would say. Takes a swing and misses because she's so graceful and talented, of course.
Of course.
And then she pulls out a knife. She rolled a natural 1 on the d4 here, so I'm going to say that what happened is she accidentally got his femoral artery, and this man very quickly bled to death everywhere.
And so Holgo and Mervin both notice this murder happened next to them, practically.
Murder's a strong word. Mm. Self-defense.
I guess she just girl-bossed a little too close to the sun.
They noticed some girl-bossing happening.
And Holgo's like, what the fuck? What the fuck is going on here?
I play another character, don't I?
Yep.
Merv, believe it or not, not the first death that this young man has seen. I'm going to go ahead and roll a deception check just to see what that looks like. That's an 18.
Go off.
What do I have to deception from her? I'm going to have to cut this out, sorry. Plus 4. That's a 22. He goes, "My baby sister!" In a way that is gut-wrenching, truly.
Yes.
And just runs. Just runs.
Okay. Holgo, yeah, that was an insight check. Holgo does not believe you on that. It was a natural 19 with a plus 4 to his wisdom. So a 23 does not...
My 22 deception.
Definitely understands kind of what happened here and says, "Who are you guys? What was that all about?"
At this point, we've approached...
Yeah, I mean, Mervin's already talking to Holgo, so.
I'm gonna roll another deception check for Elorin. That's a natural 9, which is 13. It's not the best lie in the world, but she's like, "I'm just a widow girl."
Okay.
I'm just a widow girl.
It's a natural 17 to perception. It's a 21.
Oh, okay.
So, what did you get?
I lower than that.
Okay, yes. 13. So, Holgo goes, "Okay, listen, I get it, guys. I've done similar things before. Let's get this guy off the road before he bleeds into all the stones and stuff, and then..."
Okay, I do want to be clear that I did not aim to kill this man. I would like to make it very clear I just wanted to steal his money.
It's fine. Things happen.
I rolled a very high perception check, and I noticed his very nice shoes, and I thought redistributing the wealth is an incredibly important facet of any healthy society.
I couldn't agree more.
Especially investing in the future, which is me. I'm 8.
Let's get this guy in the bushes, and we can see what we can do. So we will now, the three of them kind of start to pull this man. There's nobody else on the road. Start to pull this this poor commoner who simply was just going. He lives in Phandalin.
And attacked an 8-year-old. I'm rolling a sleight of hand to try to steal his money again off his dead body. That's...
You don't even need to. At this point, we're looting the body.
Yeah, what do we get off the body?
That's a great question. I'm going to say you get 30 gold pieces from the body. And Holgo is going to try and persuade just a little bit to maybe get some of that money as well. Just since he helped move the body.
Yeah, persuade
him. That is a natural 6 with a plus 1. So a plus, it's a 7 to persuasion.
Okay. Well, I just rolled a natural 16 plus 2 to deception is 18. So I'll say, here, I'll give you half. And I give him 4 gold pieces.
Perfect. So now Holgo has, I think, 11 gold pieces. And then between Mervin and Ellerin, they have they're 26, which they can split up evenly, or one can take the money more than the other. Perfect. So now you guys have your money from this poor dead commoner who was a native of Phandalin. And you guys continue walking. It's about a 2-day journey to Phandalin. You guys are kind of at the start of the path, maybe a third in or whatever. So you still have some time before you guys, the three of you, get to your destination. Maybe not. You guys obviously weren't traveling together beforehand, but you can if you'd like.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, like, safety in numbers, so let's just continue down this road together. I think Mervin turns to Holgo and goes, half-orc, what's your deal? What's your deal? Tell me your deal.
Well, I'm a druid, so I'm really kind of...
You're a druid?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's unique.
I was the only druid in my class.
So it was like the Will Ferrell movie Elf all the time, or what?
Yeah, kind of. Everybody's a lot of halflings, a lot of...
In this fantasy world, Elf has the same movie title.
Yeah.
But it's a really different movie.
Yeah. Yeah, Fantasy Elf, which is just...
It's also...
I don't even know what other movie I could describe it as.
Well, it's
just...
but instead of, like, Santa's Factory elves, it's, like, high elves.
It's actually a documentary.
It's just like that documentary elf.
Yeah, so, you know, I was kind of the only half-orc in my druidic class, and I felt like a bit of an outcast, so... Trying to find myself on my journey into Phandalin. I've been kind of setting out in nature a little bit to get more connected with it. And Phandalin is such a small town, so much nature around it, that I am excited to be out of the city a little bit. Big city.
Sure, yeah. Like, I could totally imagine that, as I'm sure that you can imagine. Elle and I kind of burned a couple bridges with our style. They turn and look at Elle, and she's eating bugs off the ground. So, you know, here's to new beginnings or whatever.
Yeah. Also, if you guys want some food, I have some in my bag that...
Yeah, I mean, we have a little bit of food, but, like...
You don't have to eat bugs.
No, I don't think it's because she's hungry. I think it's because she's curious. Maybe...
Interesting.
I'm trying to read. She's hard. She's just tough to read sometimes.
Of course. You know, little sisters. I don't have one, but I know the sayings about them.
That's what they say. Little sisters, you know the sayings. It's a saying in itself. It doesn't make much sense.
No, it really doesn't. And so you guys set off together into Phandalin. And it takes you about a day or so. You guys get to Phandalin, which is... I'm going to read the splash text that the book gives me about it, just so I'm not missing anything. Phandalin is nestled in the rocky foothills of the snow-capped Sword Mountains is the mining town of Phandalin, which consists of 40 or 50 simple log buildings. Crumbling stone ruins surround the newer houses and shops, showing how this must have been a much larger town in centuries past.
Phandalin's residents are quiet, hardworking folk who came from distant cities to eke out a life amid the harsh wilderness. They are farmers, stonecutters, blacksmiths, traders, prospectors, and children. The town has no walls and no garrison, but most of the adults keep weapons within easy reach in case the need for arms should arise. Visitors are welcome here, particularly if they have coin to spend or news to share. The Stonehill Inn at the center of town offers modest lodging and meals. A couple of doors down from the inn, posted outside the townmaster's hall, is a job board for adventurers. We are now in Phandalin, which is this small mining town, like the book described, that was once ruled by a larger human settlement that orcs had taken over in a few decades past, and now since has kind of been regrown as what I like to think of as van life people.
Oh no, hashtag van life.
Yeah, hashtag van life people have kind of come in and said, we're gonna make this town so fucking cute.
Oh my god.
It's so cute. So it's a little, you go into kind of, if you were to go into the inn or go to a home, you definitely see a lot of kind of live, laugh, love posters.
Sure, I'm in that.
A lot of revamped furniture that looked good with the... looked totally fine before they fixed it and then
tore it
apart. You know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, a bunch of dumb resin art.
Right.
Some, like...
the geometric
buildings.
Yeah. Yeah, there are gentrification buildings and stuff like
100%.
That. 100%. But yeah, you guys enter into this...
Fantasy Jamba Juice.
Fantasy Jamba Juice, yep. It is... It's actually Jamba's juice.
Oh.
Jamba's the guy. Jamba's the juice master.
Oh, Jamba.
The juice master of Phandalin.
Merv just sort of looks at Holgo and goes, well... we're going to make a beeline to that adventurous thing because we're short on cash. If you don't count the dead man money, which, you know, will only hold us for so long, and I got a mouth to feed. So if you feel like coming with us, you could, I guess, but that'd be whatever. That'd be whatever with me.
Sure. I guess I'll come along and, at least escort you over there. See, hopefully you're doing good. I was gonna go sit in the forest and simply vibe. But a quest wouldn't hurt either. I need some money, so let's walk over there.
Sure, says Ellerin, and she's petting a cat.
Interesting.
In her arms.
Where did she get the cat from?
I took it out a window.
Great. So it's somebody's cat.
It's someone's cat. It was. Now it's Ellerin's. She's a familiar. No, I'm just kidding. It's just a cat.
So you guys head over to the Townmaster Hall. Give me a perception check as you are walking over there.
Yeah, I'm going to get... That's a 17. Who's giving it? Who probably...
Whoever has the best perception.
Oh, so that would be a 21.
Okay.
Ellerin.
Perfect. So Ellerin hears just some kind of townspeople saying a couple of things as you are walking through town. Some folk claim to have seen a dragon flying through the high clouds. At that distance, it's hard to gauge the creature's size, but some say it's as big as an elephant, has gleaming white scales.
She tugs on her brother's sleeve, who, you know, also has pretty high perception, so I assume that he heard it too.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, Murph, who's stronger, you or a dragon? And he smiles and says, me. Not even close.
I can see that. That makes sense.
We weren't talking to you, but okay.
I'm standing right next to you. It's not like I wouldn't have heard what you said.
Well, sure. I mean, we were trying to have a sibling moment, but it's cool that you're here too, I guess.
So you hear that as you're walking through town. towards the townmaster's hall. And once you get to the townmaster hall, you see a sturdy stone-walled building with a pitched wooden roof and a bell tower in the back.
Sorry to interrupt you, and I hate to go, but I just don't want to, like, go backwards too far. Mm-hmm. Can I do a history check to see, like, what the deal is with dragons? Like, does Merv know anything about dragons?
Sure, yeah, do a history check.
Like, are dragons a big thing? Are they a thing no one's ever seen?
12 plus 2.
So 14?
Yeah.
Okay. Merv has obviously heard of dragons before. That's just in the mythos of the world, kind of. But he didn't study them in school or anything like that. Just because the last one that had been seen in the Sword Coast, which is kind of this region of the world, it hasn't been for centuries. So there isn't much history, and you'd have to do much more research.
Yeah, but that was the main thing I wanted to know, was like whether, oh, there's a dragon. There's a dragon everywhere.
There's a dragon. We see them all the time.
Yeah, no, this is relatively... this is a new revelation if there has been a dragon.
Yeah, I'm with you.
And so you get to the townmaster's hall, and you see that there is a job board standing out front, but there's also the townmaster and questmaster, I believe is what they call him in the book. Just kidding. He's called the quest giver. Not as fun as questmaster.
His name is the taskmaster.
Yup, Harbin Wester, Taskmaster.
Yeah.
You see Harbin Wester standing out front of the townmaster's home? What is it called? Townmaster's Hall, which is seems to you kind of like it's the city hall of Phandalin. Mm-hmm. There's the job board with Harbin standing out front. There's also a large space inside, too, that people can eat and kind of just gather maybe during some of the higher holidays and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Of the area, you might see some folks drinking wassail and all that kind of mead and all that kind of stuff, and having a merry time within this large hall.
Mm-hmm.
And you see Harbin Wester, who is our taskmaster, as we're calling him, and he says that he's a banker. He's a rotund, middle-aged banker who lives in a house nearby, but pretty much stays at the townmaster's hall. He's mm-hmm. a little bit drunk sometimes, as in most times, but he does love a good meal and a good party, which is why he has such a good rapport with most of the city of Phandalin.
Mm.
And you see Harbin say, if your dragon knew that I'm far too thin and bony to make a meal, crowd slightly laughs a little bit.
Huh.
He's also
Merv desperately wants a job, so he goes, ha!
Harbin points and is like, good man right there, good man right there. And you guys can walk up to Harbin and ask him for a quest, or just ask him a few questions, whatever you want to do.
Absolutely, we approach.
Great. Why, hello, I saw that you liked my joke. Thank you very much. I make that every day, so laugh it again tomorrow. What are y'all doing in Phandalin? He says y'all. Canonically, he says y'all.
Yeah, no, nice to meet you. Excellent comedy, my good sir.
Thank you.
Yes! That's 22 deception.
He thinks you're his biggest fan.
Yes! I'm Merv. This is my little sister, Ellerin.
I'm Holgo.
In fact, we are looking to get out of your hair, but also be back in time to laugh at a joke soon. So we're actually on the lookout for a ways of making, putting some gold in our pockets, a little clink clink, a little clink in our step.
Oh, you're looking for a task?
We love one, sir.
Right, I got a couple tasks. What are you in the mood for? Some magic? Some
mines, some hills, I guess.
Some hills?
Hills.
I mean, any of those locations, we could definitely make work. What kind of tasks are we dealing with here?
Well, one of them deals with, hold on, that's not his accent. One of them deals with a bunch of gnomes, you know, rock gnomes. They're in a small network of caves, and we just want to make sure that they are on board with...
You're leaning Foghorn Leghorn a little bit. I can feel yourself going.
I am. You know, we just want to make sure that they're on the side of defeating the dragon and not helping the dragon.
Okay, so a diplomacy mission there.
Diplomacy. We've also got some archaeological things that we need to find some relics, and just to make sure that there aren't any bad folks stealing those relics before we get to them. And then the other one, we just want to make sure that a woman is safe in her home, because she lives alone. She's a widow. We just want to make sure that she's doing all right.
Wellness check. So what do these pay?
The dwarven one and the gnome one. He says, well, those pay higher because they're a little bit more dangerous. Not a lot of our adventurers are all that good around here. So we might pay a little bit more for these. We've sent a few and they haven't come back. So, but then the wellness check, you know, we'll pay less. That was a different accent at the end. It's fine.
What an interesting man you are from such an interesting region, sir. Such a well-traveled, interesting comedian. What kind of numbers?
I'm working on my voices.
Oh! An impressionist as well. A little Jeff Dunham number going on up here. You got lots of voices yeah. in your comedy. Huh?
He pulls out a puppet.
Oh, no!
Oh. He's actually a ventriloquist.
Uh-oh.
Just kidding, he doesn't do that.
What kind of numbers are we talking? 1,000 gold? 10 gold? What...
They're all at about, the two more difficult ones are 50 gold pieces, and the wellness check is 25 gold pieces. So it's half the amount.
And what was the dwarf one?
I'll read what they say in the book, is dwarf prospectors found ancient dwarven ruins in the mountains southwest of here and have been working an archaeological dig seeking treasure and relics.
Yeah, let's do that one.
Okay.
I've been down.
Cool, so you guys are going to go on the Dwarven Excavation quest. And so you guys walk to the Dwarven Excavation, which is in the mountains outside of town. Not too far out of town, since the... actually, hold on, let me...
Uh-oh. That's a natural 2, ladies and germs. I don't know what it was a check for.
It was a check for nothing.
Oh, sick!
So you guys head into a little bit of a journey. Do you do anything in Phandalin before you head out on this quest?
I still have my pack full of stuff and I have all my money.
Because there are other shops. I can also tell you what shops are in Phandalin because I didn't really touch on them.
Yeah, I could peek into a shop.
There is a general store that kind of just has, like, backpacks and stuff like that.
I'm good.
There is the Lion Shield Coaster, which is the trading post that has a wooden shield with a blue lion painted on it. And they sell finished goods, who sells armors and weapons.
Mm. I don't think I gave a physical description of either of my characters.
Physically describe your characters for us, please.
Sorry to break whatever idea of them you had in your head. Okay, Mervyn Bloodbane is 19 years old. He's probably 5'9", twiggy and weenie shaped. Not like a weenie, like a hot dog, but like he is like just kind of shaped like a dweebus, I guess. Just sort of skinny and not particularly coordinated. He is sort of a reddish purpley hue, as tieflings are wont to be shades of reddish. He is sort of a reddish purpley hue with classic tiefling horns.
How grown in are they?
I don't know when they normally spring up. When do they normally spring up?
I'd say like 15, 16.
Well, they normally spring up like when puberty hits, right?
Sure. So maybe not 15, 16, maybe a little bit earlier than that.
Right, yeah. So they're a few years in. And Ellerin, she already has her horns have barely sprouted in. She is 8 years old. And she has little nubby horns, and she is kind of pink. She's a little bit sort of personish, but a little pinker than a person normally is. All over, like, not just cheeks. She's just a little pink person. And she has a little glint in her eye at all times. Very roguish.
She's a little thief.
A little scamp, I guess. She's you could scamp. Say she's a little bit of a scamp. So that's what they look like. And, I don't remember what she wears. Sorry. Take a pause real quick.
Short skirts and t-shirts.
She's the gym captain. Nope, that's not
cheer captain. She's also on the bleachers too. She's literally everywhere because she is a rogue.
She's a rogue. I thought I put armor. Oh yeah, she wears leather armor, and she's got little straps and stuff where she's got like daggers and a short sword and stuff.
Yeah, she's ready for anything.
Ready for anything, and he carries a quarterstaff, which is also not to spoil, but it's his arcane focus.
Fun. Is there anything special on it, or is it just kind of a stick of wood?
No, it's just kind of a quarterstaff.
Hell yeah.
Hell
yeah.
My man did not grow up in the lap of luxury. Mm-hmm. Don't know if you can tell. Yes. So this is not some fancy glass swirling gold plated silver arcane. This is just a freaking quarterstaff that glows.
Yeah.
Sometimes.
But yeah, so in Phandalin, you see that there is also a miners exchange where like people can like kind of change their goods and exchange them and stuff like that.
I think I may, just because I haven't really gotten into a real fight yet, I don't really know what I'm lacking. So I think I'll just go ahead and save my money till I go on a quest and kind of figure out what I'm lacking.
And then there's also a small shrine, the Shrine of Luck, as it says on there, which is usually manned by one elf named Sister Garael, who is not there. She's out of town. And so it is unmanned. It is dedicated to Timora, who is the goddess of luck and good fortune. Mm. And so if you want to do a religion check or anything like that, probably around the Shrine of Luck is the best place to do it.
Religion check. That's 116. But that's okay.
And a 19. Okay.
So I'm going to go ahead and assign that 3 to Ellerin.
That's an 18.
To Ellerin. And the, what did I roll, 16?
Yeah.
Plus religion, it would be 18 for me.
Perfect. So do you guys, like, pray at the Shrine of Healing? Or do you kind of just... Do you kind of just investigate it with kind of a religious thought in your mind?
What does Holgo do?
Holgo, he's seen these around before. He's kind of used to shrines and stuff like that. And he doesn't pray to Timora, but he does kind of kneel down and pray to the orc god. And do you guys do the same? Do you guys have religious connotations that you, or religious beings that you would pray to?
Ellerin's trying to learn how to walk on her hands. And
great.
Merv just sort of walks over towards the shrine, leans down towards the side of the road, picks a flower, and sort of just walks over and lays it in the tray, and he just sort of sends a mental note and says, Hey, Mom, I don't know if you can pick up on these things at other people at, you know, shrines and stuff. And I don't really know how that communication works, but, you know, or maybe someone else can pass the message along to you or something. I'm doing my best. Every day I'm doing my best, and every day it's hard. So maybe if you're friends with this time, this luck lady, whatever her name is.
Timora.
Timora, the luck lady, not the time lady.
No.
First of all, I don't know, her name's confusing, but then second, you know, if you could have her send some stuff my way, it could be a really good sign that maybe you heard this.
And you feel a little bit of guidance.
My mom is alive. I just want you to know. Oh, their mom, okay. She's a devil.
Yes, yes, yes. I forgot about that.
Yeah, no, just making sure, because the audience didn't know that, so that's fine. But I need to make sure that you know that.
The vibe I was getting, I was like, is she dead?
No, remember she got pulled into like a devil.
Yes, yeah.
Obligation like several years ago.
A contract that she had to fulfill.
Yeah, so she's. But you can cut that out. But I just want you to know.
Yes, no, I thank you for
reiterating. That's why he poison sprayed a flower for it to wither and die in hopes that like it might be like a way to send it to hell.
Sure.
A hellish offering.
Yes. So you see that the two, Erlyn, not so much. Ellerin. Sorry.
Her name's Ella. Ella Rin.
Ella. Okay. I will think of Ella. Ella Rin doesn't get much from being at this...
She gets a little better at walking on her hands.
Yeah. She's really good at walking on her hands now. Mm. Not enough to change her dexterity, but...
No.
enough to be better at what she's doing. And... Holgo and... Hogo and Mervin both sit there and kind of just think a little bit, and a minute passes and a small breeze kind of goes over, seemingly just where this shrine is, but they feel a little bit of guidance coming from the Goddess of Luck. And you might feel this a little bit later, too. So, it's a good thing that we did something at the shrine.
Merv bumps Holgo with his shoulder. An amount that, like, for a normal person would be too hard, but Holgo's very large.
Big boy.
And goes, ready to go?
Yeah, let's go. Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. We are going to be back next week with another and more thrilling episode of Ice Spire Peak. If you enjoyed this episode, please make sure to follow us on Spotify. Or if you listen to us on Apple Podcasts, send in a rating of 5 stars. That will really help us out in getting the podcast support. You can follow me at mlcoat13 on all social media and head over to Bryn's TikTok, which is at Bryn Jones. If you like this, you might also like our parent show, The Clickbait Show. I'm the host, and it's a live-streamed trivia and game show over on Twitch. We are currently in production for season 2, and if you want any updates, you'd be best to head over to twitch.tv/theclickbaitshow, with no spaces, where all of the other social media handles are linked. Thank you again, and see you next time.